This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 4 minutes after 1 o'clock, and just before we talk to Mad Bug, got a email here from Speeds. Got to disagree with you and Flaming. Retaking one forward and one defenseman is the way to go this year. Personally, I'd like to see Evans take a forward at 1, at 19, and at 31, unless a defenseman they really like slips to 19 or 31. And maybe it's just the way it's worked out, but the Oilers have had 7 first or second round picks in the last 3 drafts. They've taken 6 forwards and Alex Plante. And Speeds will go on to say, actually, I'm not entirely sure if you and Guy were saying the Oilers should draft a forward or an D, or that you just expect they will. Which was it? Well, for me, it's just a matter of tradition. The Oilers usually draft forward and then follow up with a defenseman. And I think we saw a really good insight into that in Oil Change when they were talking about taking Marinson at 31. They ended up with Pitlick because they thought he was the best player available. But there was a lot of dialogue. They'd already taken Taylor Hall at number 1 and eventually made a trade to pick up Marinson in round 2. But it was a discussion, and I just think that's the tradition. The Oilers, I think, rightly view taking a forward at the top pick is the better idea, because usually that's when all the really good skill players are gone by, what, number 10 or 15 in any given draft year. And if you're asking me what I think is going to happen, I think it's already pretty much fait accompli. The Oilers will talk to the teams at 2 and 3 to see who they're taking. If it's someone other than Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, they may swing a deal, but Ryan Nugent-Hopkins will, I think it's like 90% he'll get drafted here, and then he'll play in Red Deer next year at the World Junior Championships in Calgary and Edmonton, and then they'll think about turning him pro the following year for lots of reasons. Number one, the Oilers have so many kids. They could go a year of just playing these kids, and Hartikainen might be the only rookie in 11-12, and that would be okay too, because how many 2-, 3-, and 4-year players do they have that are under 23 years old? It's a very young group, and if they're going to bring in a center who can win faceoffs, another defenseman, and maybe a gritty winger, adding that threesome to what the Oilers already have, you probably already have a very busy lineup and a few people that you're going to have to send down, maybe like Colin Fraser, that you didn't plan on a year ago. So that's what I think. I think Nugent Hopkins is going to be number one. Now, in hour number 2, we're going to be talking to Cassie McLennan from Rod Charge blog, also Tim Carell from Blackhawk Up blog, and Greg Drinnen from Taking Note. But we're talking right now to Matt Bug, who writes for McKean's and Dauber Hockey. We've had him on before because he's an excellent guest talking about the draft and specifically the WHL. In your March mock draft on Dauber Hockey, Matt, you had the Oilers taking Adam Larson. This month, you've changed it to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. It's becoming more and more difficult to keep him. Do you agree with that?
Well, it's becoming more and more difficult to keep him out of top position, despite his struggles in the postseason so far, because he's been doing it at a stage that's here. Our scouts have had a chance to get to know him better. They've had a chance to see him work his magic in the first round against the Oil Kings, and I think minus this second round, he's made a great impression. And meanwhile, Adam Larson, I think, had to do a lot in the Elitserien playoffs to make as much or a better impression. And I don't think he's done that. He's played well, but not that well.
Larson's offense is a little bit of a concern. He had a solid year in the Swedish Elite League in 09-10, playing a lot of power play minutes. But this year, offensively at least, he's been somewhat ordinary. Is that the word you're getting? Is that the reason he's just not getting enough power play time?
Well, a big part of the problem have been teammates Tim Erickson and David Rundblad. They've taken away a lot of that available time. And Larson is really a player that creates offense from his own zone. He's not a player like Rundblad who's going to rush up the ice and create offense that way. He's a very cerebral player. And while I don't think he's producing at the level that a lot of people would like in the Elitserien right now, I don't think he'll have a problem here being a 30-40 point guy, but it's certainly been a barrier to GMs perhaps ranking him number one.
I look at the Tampa Bay draft where they went with Stamkos and the following year Hedman. Oilers last year went with Taylor Hall. Is Larson the type of player who could impact physically and somewhat offensively similar to Hedman, or is he a different player type?
He's a different type of player, although they both have that man size. Hedman, of course, is a little bigger at about 6'6". Larson's about 6'3 and 200 pounds right now. But Larson, just the same, is a player that can step in right away and make a difference. Maybe he's not going to do it on the score sheet so much, but he's got a man's body. He's been playing against men. He was averaging, 22 minutes a game in the playoffs for Schlaftia. And I think he's a guy that even if he's not scoring, he can still be useful.
However, if you're picking first overall, Nugent Hopkins is the more attractive option because of the offense, right?
He absolutely is, and that's sort of the thing that the Oilers will have to weigh. Do they want a guy who can come in and not have to work on himself as much physically but not contribute right away, or will they take a risk on a smaller player who has elite vision and skating ability but maybe doesn't have the body type to survive the grind right away?
Oilers chief scout Stu McGregor has shown a tendency since he became the chief scout to take the safe pick. I always thought that was Larson, but after seeing Nugent Hopkins and how well he played and how much he progressed after the World Junior Championships, maybe he's the safe pick now. Do you agree with that?
I think in some ways he is. You know the type of game you're going to get from him, and the only barrier to him translating his offense to the NHL is whether or not he can add a few pounds. You look at Patrick Kane, who I think is a great prototype for Nugent Hopkins, and Kane didn't have to do a whole lot. Mind you, he scored at a much greater rate in the OHL in his draft year. But this is a player who thrives on his intelligence, on his speed, on his hands, whereas Larson, he's going to have to figure things out here. So in a few respects, Nugent Hopkins is the safer pick.
Your top five is, according to your latest top five anyway, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, and you've got Larson at four. Your number two guy is Gabriel Landeskog. Tell us about him and why you have him number two.
Well, I don't think he has the offense to be a top-end player. Like Larson, he can step in right away and make an impact from minute one. He has so many intangibles that it's tough to drop him from the top five. Mind you, my mock draft, of course, is based on how teams may see the draft. In my own top five, he's down at number four, just because I think there are a couple other players, including Nugent Hopkins and Sean Couturier, who have the ability to contribute a bit more on offense in their career.
You mentioned Couturier, and do you still have him in your top five?
I have him number three. I don't think he's really swayed me at all this year either way. He didn't win a scoring title like I may have wanted to see him follow up with, but he produced at an elite level again against his peers, acquitted himself, I thought, very well at the World Juniors, and to top it off, has a great two-way game, and I think he's just a hair ahead of Landeskog in all those respects.
Okay, we've listed off four of your top five on your personal list: Nugent Hopkins, Landeskog, Couturier, and Larson. Who rounds out your top five on your personal list?
This will be a surprise to some people, but I have to put Dougie Hamilton there. He's been sublime all playoffs long for Niagara. I believe he has 11 points right now. He's just a really, really good player. It was a later conversion to defense. He was a forward as a teenager, and you can see that in the way that he's used as a screen on the power play sometimes. He's got great puck skills, and I don't know why this guy hasn't gotten more respect. He's outplaying Ryan Strome, I think, right now. And, you know, of the three defensemen that I think could be the best from this class, Hamilton, Larson, and Ryan Murphy, Hamilton has all the tools that you want in a number one guy.
If this year had gone a lot longer, is Hamilton the sort of player who might have moved up and challenged Larson for the top defense choice?
Well, he still could. He has the ability to rack up some more points in the playoffs and hopefully survive this current round. But you're right. I think if the season were a bit longer, he would have certainly won out. It's very interesting because you don't usually see the European kid in, you know, the supposedly faraway league take the early press. Usually it's a Canadian boy like Hamilton, but this year he's been really underrated, I think.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of Steve Tambellini saying the first overall pick is in play for trade? That didn't happen last year. It was a clearer draft at the top. Is this a matter of the Oilers maybe deciding on their number one pick and then seeing how far they can trade down and still get that guy?
I think so. There are, you know, six different players that could conceivably go number one. If the Oilers feel that their player, perhaps Larson, will be available around the 4 or 5 spot, it wouldn't necessarily hurt them to trade down. We know that Florida is probably going to be looking at a forward. We know Colorado probably wants a winger, so there is that intelligence there that indicates it would be safe to move down.
What kind of player do you think is likely to be available to the Oilers at 19, which I think is the LA Kings number now, if all things remain equal? Is there going to be a good player there? Is this a deep enough draft for the Oilers to count on and be getting a player, you know, a Tyler Pitlick type at that number?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Pitlick's name, because if the Oilers take Nugent Hopkins first, one of the things that they're going to be looking for later in the first round is probably size. There are two bigger centers in Prince Albert's Mark McNeil, who had a very good playoffs and regular season, and also Barrie's Mark Scheifele, who's about 6'3 and just shy of 180 pounds. A player, though, that I think could be a dark horse is Nicholas Jensen from Oshawa. He's a big kid. He's 6'3", 186. He was just shy of 30 goals and 60 points on the year, but he's got 7 goals in 9 playoff games so far, and I honestly don't see a lot separating Jensen from Landeskog, besides maybe the defensive game. He's a powerful skater, he's got great instincts, and he's given Hamilton all problems long because he's one of the few players that has the size to contend with him physically.
Most NHL teams ask their scouts to have a backup list, a touch list of their favorites from their general area. Do you have somebody who maybe isn't on the NHL draft horizon, for those of us who follow it, who might be a player we should watch out for?
In the first round or later in the
later on.
Draft? There are a few names that have intrigued me throughout the year watching primarily the WHL. I think one player that hasn't received a lot of respect is Rene Hunter from the Brandon Wheat Kings. He's an excellent defenseman, great skater, maybe a little undersized. But in all the games that I've seen this year of Brandon, he's been used in every single situation. He's a very tough kid, a prototypical two-way player. And there's a chance he doesn't get drafted, but I think that he'll be picked around the fourth or fifth round.
What about goaltenders? Is there any goaltenders in the West that might be worth looking at?
John Gibson from the American under-18 team has been a revelation, I think, all year long. We're going to get a better look at him at the under-18s. He's a big kid at almost 6'3", just a hair shy of 6'3", and 205 pounds. A player that might push for first-round status is Christopher Gibson from Chicoutimi. Again, a bigger kid, which is nice to see in a goaltender. And I think Gibson had a great regular season. I know there was talk that if the season had gone a bit longer, he might have been an MVP candidate. He was so good.
Now, one final question for you, Matt, and this has in regard to Martin Marinson, who started off very well, and people were saying all kinds of great things about him. And then as the season wore on, his team and Marinson himself slowed down. Does that mean the Oilers are more likely, if they choose Nugent Hopkins at one, are they more likely to take a defenseman either with that LA Kings pick or their second first-round pick because Marinson has maybe slid a little?
I have to think that they will be looking for a defenseman with one of the two first-round picks. Of course, a lot will depend on how they go with number one. There are a few good options that will be on the board, but I think Marinson just was a victim of the North American game, just wearing and tearing on his body as the year went on. He's not used to playing that many contests. And as the season progressed, his defensive game just started breaking down. That extra gear wasn't there that he maybe had at the beginning of the year. I remember watching him in a preseason tournament, and he was dominant. He was flying all over the ice. He was making plays in both ends. But that jump was missing later on. And, you know, I wouldn't be disappointed with his year so far, and I don't think it should necessarily impact how the Oilers select later on. But he's certainly a nice piece to have in the pipeline.
Matt, so much. Thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
No problem, Alan.
Okay. That's Matt Bug from McKean's and Dauber Hockey. Interesting insight, and I think reiterating some of the things that we heard in hour number one from Kirk Ludicky from Bruins Draft Watch, especially with the goaltender Gibson, somebody to keep an eye on. And that's basically what we're doing now. The Central Scouting list, the final list is out. We look forward to Bob McKenzie's list and International Scouting Services. But the more information we can find out about these kids, especially now as we follow them maybe through a Memorial Cup or as time goes on. So interesting insight. A few emails to get to here. Let's talk here from Perry. We've got Brent Seabrook doesn't have a no trade on that new contract. What about this? Sam Gagner, Ladislav Smead, and the Oilers' first rounder, the LA pick from the Penner deal for Brent Seabrook. Okay. Brent Seabrook will be starting a 5-year, $5.8 million contract. I mean, as an Oiler, you know, follower, I would suggest that's a deal that you'd make. I wonder if Chicago would make. I know they have cap problems, mostly because of the Hossa and Campbell contract. So they have 11 players for next year. No, they have 14 players for next year under contract at 51 mil. So, yeah, they got some work to do. That's an interesting insight there from Perry. We'll have to think about. Let me think about that one because that's That's an interesting one. I didn't say no to it, so that's got to be good plan, good sign. Why do scouting reports? This is from Jason. Says, why do scouting reports so often state that a player will not be a big star? Example, Oleksiak won't be as good as Chara when so many stars are drafted late. Example, Chara, 56th overall. I think mostly with regard to, depending upon what you're reading, if you're reading ISS or Bob McKenzie or any of the Red Line or any of those, the idea is to have a take and don't suck, as Jim Rome says. A homogenous scouting report on a player doesn't really, you know, give anybody any excitement about what this player is going to do. So if they say he's not going to be a star, they're just making a call on him. And it's hard to tell, though. I mean, if you're a 17-year-old kid and you're playing and you gain, you know, 25 pounds and 3 inches over the summer, you're a different player when you come back. And that does happen. The ultimate example of that was Dave Taylor, who was drafted in, I think, 75 by Los Angeles. And he was taken deep in the draft. And in one summer, he gained like 25 pounds and 4 inches. And he came back to the college he was playing for. I think it was Clarkson, and had an outstanding year. And from then on, he was an impact power forward, the kind of guy that you saw play for Los Angeles all those years. And it happened in the wink of an eye. He went from the skinny kid who gets sand kicked in his face to Charles Atlas in one summer. And that can happen. So that's what I think. I think scouting reports change, especially. That's why we keep track of them on draft day, because the player will still get better as time goes on. This is Nation Radio on Edmonton Sports Radio Team 1260. Still lots to come this hour. We'll talk to Greg Grinnan from Taking Note. I don't know if you've been following the WHL off-ice stories, but Chilliwack is moving to the island, and the Regina Pats are in the news today. We'll talk about that. Also, Tim Correll from BlackHawkUp.com, and much more coming up.